Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Folks, our nation is a constitutional republic, a nation of law. The Constitution is the basis of our laws. The Constitution is what we vest took an oath to support and defend. We have to enforce the laws at our borders. And given the insight provided by the January 6th tapes showing the invasion of the Capitol, it's clear that the invaders were, for the most part, good law-abiding citizens, and our Department of Justice and the FBI have outrageously ignored the law and have punished good citizens. It's time to demand that our nation's executive branch of government return to obeying the law, and those who violated it should be tried and imprisoned. My thoughts. Okay, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is Marine vet Skip Coriel. What you up to this week, Skip?
Well, you know, Colonel, I just have a little comment on your comment. I know one of those people who was imprisoned for January 6th, and this whole thing just didn't pass the smell test when they first came out with it. And now everything's proving that the FBI might not be as pristine and clean and white as the wind-driven snow.
You know, even good people make mistakes. But good people admit their mistakes when they make them and then correct them.
Absolutely, Colonel.
That ain't happening. Okay, here's what we have for you today. On News and Comments by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss wars that we don't need to be in. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. Then Army vet and energy expert Tony Lintelli will discuss our nation and energy. Next, a Navy Captain Paul Ryan will present the Armed Forces Thanksgiving event. Then Army Ranger Art Doc Attaway will discuss Army Rangers, and General Chris Petty will present the Battle of the Month.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. Now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. We'll start with the news, and what's first there, Skip?
Well, Colonel, even as undocumented immigrants continue to stream across our southern border at a record rate, critics are starting to call attention to an issue along our northern border. Representative Mike Kelly, Republican from Pennsylvania, highlighted a lack of security on our northern border in a letter he sent to Homeland Security Mayorkas. The warning comes on the heels of a staggering report that illegal immigration from Canada was 743% higher between October and December than it was during the same period last year. Officials working along the sector, which includes nearly 300 miles of the border through New York, New Hampshire, and Vermont, reported that the number of encounters and arrests spiked by 850% over the past year and hit a record high in January. "This is unprecedented," declared the sector's chief. "We're seeing traffic across the entire area with elevated levels in the eastern New York area as well as the Newport, Vermont area." As Kelly, who serves as co-chairman of the Northern Border Security Caucus in the House, explained, quote, "The Biden administration's open border policies have allowed for a surge in human and drug smuggling across the U.S.-Canadian border, the longest international border in the world," unquote.
How can these open borders be anything but hurtful to our nation? Is there anything good about ignoring our own laws and allowing drugs and human trafficking and who knows what else, including disease, into our country? If we're not going to obey the law, then we've trashed our Constitution, the one we vets defended.
As China and Russia begin moving toward a closer relationship, our military and foreign policy experts have kept a watchful eye on Taiwan, likely the next staging area for a violent reclamation. The Ukraine war has left Russia exposed, with its military resources being drained and its soldiers dying at a far higher rate than was expected before the war started. However, a new partnership with China could tip the scales back in Russia's favor. Yet we know that China was originally upset with Russia for their invasion of Ukraine, because it came at a time when China was also looking at invading Taiwan. There were reports early in the Ukraine war that China believed the Russian invasion put the world on higher alert, making a Taiwan invasion much more difficult to pull off. However, China is looking at Taiwan with interest. Recently, it was reported that we were increasing our presence in Taiwan through efforts to train Taiwanese forces. We plan to deploy between 100 and 200 troops there, up from roughly 30 a year ago, The larger force will expand a training program that we have taken pains not to publicize, as we provide Taipei with the capabilities to defend itself without provoking Beijing. This would be our largest deployment of forces in decades on Taiwan to counter China's growing military power. Further, the Michigan National Guard is training Taiwanese military members, including during annual exercises with multiple countries at Camp Grayling in northern Michigan. However, there is new information out there. China is building up its military spending, which could be a sign that an invasion is coming.
I'm personally surprised that China hasn't already invaded Taiwan, given the clear military and political weakness our nation is demonstrating. I'm glad we're doing all we can to help Taiwan defend itself. I hope other nations are helping Taiwan too. But we're so dependent on importing stuff from China, this could be a real crisis for us.
And China finally revealed that two of its astronauts did a secretive spacewalk on the Tiangong space station. This is their second extravehicular operation in the last 3 months. Two crew members exited the space station to perform a scheduled task, according to Chinese media. The announcement of this mission was only made after it was completed, which is not the norm. Space News reports that this raises concerns about why the Chinese revealed what they were up to after it was done. Rick Fisher, a senior fellow with the International Assessment and Strategic Center, said, "For the Chinese Communist Party, less transparency means more power, the power to deter, disinform, and disarm enemies, reflecting ancient Chinese strategic values. Furthermore, this Chinese Communist Party in all areas, not just outer space, will not be accountable to any outside rule or value system. So they have no problem not warning other nations about its space activities." Activities at the International Space Station have again taken on some geopolitical significance. This was particularly heightened when Russia announced that it intended to pull its members from the International Space Station, given the tensions between itself and the United States.
China is our number one enemy everywhere. We should not permit buying anything from China or selling anything to them or investing there, and we need to get them out of our nation's schools and industry. But first, we need to rebuild our own manufacturing system and industry so that we can do that.
Amen to that, Colonel. North Korea has issued another blustery warning to the U.S., saying any attempt to shoot down its test missiles would be considered a declaration of war. The statement was made by the sister of leader Kim Jong-un, who blamed a joint military exercise between the U.S. and South Korea for the growing tensions on the Korean Peninsula. In response, "We deployed a B-52 bomber for training exercises with South Korean fighter jets, which Seoul's defense ministry claims is a show of force against North Korea's nuclear and missile threats. This move has further angered North Korea, which accused us of aggravating the situation by conducting the air drill and planning more military exercises with South Korea." The tensions come as North Korea is ramping up its strategic weapon test, hinting that they could fire more missiles into the Pacific Ocean. This could follow them to make technical advances while signaling its military resolve. The U.S. and our allies have never shot down North Korean ballistic missiles, which the U.N. Security Council bans. Still, the question has drawn new scrutiny since North Korea suggested it would fire more missiles over Japan. They claim that the Pacific Ocean does not belong to the United States or Japan.
North Korea is virtually an agent of China. They could do nothing without China's okay. I'd favor Japan shooting down a missile going over their nation. What could North Korea do? And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing. We can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a vet, in getting involved in getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check CV4A.org. That's CV4A.org. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Front Lines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel, and then we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll discuss our nation's energy with Tony Lentilli. At ease, troops. Take a break.
HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with all of your everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, health-related services, or information on retirement planning, financial resources, or more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all of your daily needs at HealthVet.net. HealthVet.net wants to thank you for your service, and may God continue to bless the U.S. of A.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. According to the National Sexual Violence Resource Center, 80% of rape victims knew their attacker. Be careful who you let into your life. If they don't feel right to you, then don't associate with them. My experience has taught me this. When you let crazy people into your life gets crazy. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the Front Lines of Freedom all across America. Troops, did you know American farmers are going out of business because people are buying foreign food? It's not good for our nation's security if we can't feed ourselves. We need to maintain our food independence by buying food grown in America. Patriot Foods is not emergency food. It's food produced by our farmers. I eat it and love it. Use the promo code FREEDOM and save 10%. Check patriotfoods.com. That's patriotfoods.com. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. It's pretty clear that our Defense Department is a disaster and has been basically incompetent for years and years. I think it's safe to say that our Pentagon's mission is to have a military force that is capable of defending our nation. If our military is strong and effective, then others won't want to mess with us. That's called deterrence. We've been really good in that area. But when we decide to go to war in other places without a declaration of war, with no definition of what victory looks like, then too many times we think the local people in whose land we're fighting want to be like us and will adopt our values and culture when we leave. And I don't think that's ever happened. But we've still sent our troops out to die and spend billions of dollars. I guess we're trying to have a victory somewhere. You know, other than the first Gulf War, can anyone think of a war we've won since World War II? But we spent a lot of money and have lost a lot of lives. We do have to realize that almost without exception, third world nations are corrupt. When we give them money to build their military or for some other purpose, much of it goes in people's pockets, yet we never seem to check on things like this. And people who are tribal by nature don't think of themselves as a part of a nation, and they certainly aren't really concerned about their nation. It's their tribe that counts. Yes, they'll join the army to get money or weapons, but their culture doesn't include loyalty to anything but their tribe. We seem to think that all we have to do is equip and train them, and they'll be ready to defend themselves. Our nation's watchdog for Afghanistan reconstruction said that we had failed to establish, quote, an independent and self-sustainable, end quote, security force in Afghanistan, despite being in the region for over 20 years. And that's very clearly true. Afghanistan fell to the Taliban as soon as our troops were stupidly yanked from the country in August 2021, despite $90 billion spent on operations in that country. In the days before our withdrawal, the Afghan military seemed to be pulling back, which ultimately allowed the Taliban to take over Kabul and the rest of the country. The Special Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction noted that the disintegration was a result of the Afghan military being dependent on our military. When we withdrew, our support was dramatically reduced, which led to a decline in the morale of Afghan soldiers and police. He added that we had no political will or dedicated resources to initiate the wholesome development of another nation's army. Hey, how do you do that anyway? He concluded that the eventual collapse was predictable, as we had failed to establish a force that could operate entirely independently. For this, he blamed both insufficient planning and the general lack of oversight on the billions of dollars that were spent on weapons and equipment that we provided. Following our withdrawal, we left behind close to $7.2 billion in equipment, including at least 78 aircraft and over 40,000 vehicles for the Taliban to use. After 20 years, we had failed to create or support a national government or army that could and would stand alone once we left, and no one could see that? Whoever ordered this withdrawal and whoever implemented it should be tried and imprisoned for the criminal incompetence of the quick abandonment of the local people and the throwing away of all our military equipment, throwing it into the hands of our enemies. Hey, let's look at the war in Ukraine. Yes, Russia invaded Ukraine. It's clear that Russia hoped the invasion would quickly produce negotiations that would give Russia the turf they needed and end the war. But that didn't happen. Former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice said that we must comprehend the essence of this conflict. She added that this is not just about defending Ukraine independence. It's also about defending the rules that state you cannot destroy your neighbor's country. Okay. But to what level do we support any given country? We're giving Ukraine more money and equipment than we can afford. We're giving away much of our nation's reserves and military supplies. And if Russia is successful, who else is at risk? Clearly, it's the other countries in Western Europe. Among those nations, only Poland is really helping Ukraine. The richest nation there, Germany, is doing almost nothing. So, while we should be supporting all of the Ukrainian people, why are we pouring so much of our resources into the war when Europe isn't? Many potential Republican presidential contenders don't support continuing our huge support for Ukraine. Former President Trump has also argued that we should slow down our support for Ukraine and should instead press the two countries to negotiate. And there are lots of others. Troops, the bottom line just might be that we need to put America first, fix our power lines and sources, take care of our homeless vets, and rebuild our military. That's what I prefer. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. And now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have to share this week, Roland?
You know, when it comes to stories about the military, I have found that nothing is impossible. But here I am again, coming across a story I just knew couldn't be true. There's a Coast Guard officer who served on active duty until he was 80 years old. Impossible, as the Coast Guard has a maximum age of 60 years old. Dr. Earl Russell Fox spent most of his life in and around the military. He was the son of an Army officer, and he was born in an Army hospital in 1919. He joined the Navy during World War II, stayed in the Naval Reserves after the war, and then at the ripe old age of 55, he joined the Coast Guard. And on Veterans Day 1999, President Bill Clinton recognized him as the last World War II veteran still serving on active duty. He was 80 years old, and he retired just a few days later after serving the maximum numbers of years of service for his Coast Guard rank. Fox was born at Fort Eustis, Virginia. Army doctors believed the baby was stillborn and left for dead in a laundry bin. Only when doctors returned later to confirm the baby's gender did they find him crying in the bin. He studied at the University of Richmond before the United States entered World War II. Fox graduated in 1941 and joined the Navy as a commissioned officer the next year. He commanded patrol torpedo boats for much of the war, including PT-22s at Midway in an Alaska's Aleutian Island chain. While in the Aleutians, Fox and his crew were forced to abandon ship for lifeboats after their PT boat was grounded. Believed to be dead yet again, his personal effects were sent home to his wife, but Fox was actually rescued by local natives who took him in until he could return back to service. In 1943, he was transferred to PT-349 and stationed near New Guinea, where his boat was strafed by Japanese fighters. He ended the war in the submarine service aboard the USS Bang. When he left active duty for the Naval Reserve, he had been awarded the Silver Star and two Bronze Stars. After the war, he decided to go to medical school, and he spent 23 years after that in the reserves while working in a family practice. That was until the Coast Guard came calling, and he joined as a flight surgeon and learned to fly helicopters in the Coast Guard. He spent the next 25 years until his retirement as a captain at the ripe old age of 80 years old. So there you have it. What I believe is likely the oldest active duty military member in U.S. history. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss energy with Army vet Tony Lentini. Then we'll learn about the Armed Forces Thanksgiving. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. You're standing tall with Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for sit-ups. Start with 50, take a break and do another 50, then stand at ease.
Nearly 30% of veterans have disabilities caused by military service. At Berry Law, we fight to make sure that every veteran receives full compensation for their injuries. Our team of attorneys, veterans, and former VA employees have helped veterans recover over $100 million in back pay from inadequate VA decisions. For a free consultation, call 888-883-2483.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S. only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer when you shop at patriotfoods.com. We give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off patriotfoods.com. 10% off promo code FREEDOM and shop today.
Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome back to the show my fellow West Pointer, Tony Lentini. Tony joined us last week to discuss his new forming alternate association for West Point graduates. However, once he left the Army, Tony got involved in energy, and that impacts our economics and all kinds of things. And certainly one of our nation's huge crises is our wild national debt, and we don't know what we're doing. We're ending all the energy that works and trying to use stuff that may work or if we can get some. So I asked him back to discuss this crazy problem and what we citizens can do about it. So glad you're back, Tony. Thanks for coming.
Thank you, Danny. I appreciate it.
Tony, give us a quick review of your military background, and then tell us what you've done since you got, how you got into your current role.
Fantastic. I graduated from West Point in 1971, intending to make the military a career. I was stationed at Fort Carson and later at the 2nd Armored Cavalry Regiment in Nuremberg, Germany, where we patrolled the East German and Czech borders. So I saw the front lines of freedom firsthand. And I ended up getting out of the military after my commitment was up for reasons I don't need to go into here, but it was a matter of honor where I refused to sign for an arms room that was missing something. And so I didn't think I was going to have a future in the military. So I got up and I wanted to do something important because I believe the military is important. It defends our nation. And after the military, I think energy is the most important thing that affects our nation because it's life and death, it's war and peace, it's poverty or wealth. It's all dependent on energy. And so that's why I got into the energy business. I was first with an electric and gas utility based out of New Orleans, which is now Entergy, which is a giant electric utility. And then I got into the oil business. I was with two different companies, Mitchell Energy and Development. I started there as a communications manager and progressed to be a vice president of public affairs and investor relations. And then I went to Apache Corporation, another oil and gas independent, where I served as vice president of public and international affairs. And one of the key aspects of my role in both utilities and the oil and gas industry was energy policy. So I've got a really good background in that. And I really believe very strongly that we're on the wrong track, completely on the wrong track right now.
Well, I know a bit about it, and I can see the huge things that we're doing energy-wise, some of which make no sense to me, and some of which make good sense to me, but I don't have the background. I can use logic, but it only goes so far. At some point, you need facts, too. So I'm really glad you joined us. But I can remember 40 or so years ago, I was going, the Army sent me to get a master's degree at the University of Texas at El Paso. And El Paso is out in the middle of the desert. It's surrounded by desert. And there were wind things out there in the desert, but they didn't need the energy there. They needed it on the on the other end of Texas. So they had to send it by,
transmission line.
Yeah, which is not exactly the most efficient way to do things. I just didn't see that as something that made a whole lot of sense, at least not for the whole nation. It worked really well for people living in West Texas, but I just don't see enough logic here. So talk me through this.
Well, we're going to break this into two different parts. Let's look at the electric generation first, and then we'll look at the fuels that enable electric generation, which is basically oil and gas. You've got a little bit from wind power, a little bit from dams and water, hydroelectric, and some from nuclear, although that's, everybody hates nuclear now too on the other side. But it's basically oil and gas, and we're going to need to be dependent on oil and gas for many years to come. But if you look at electric generation, what scares me is back when I was there, back in the 70s, I left the energy, the electric utility business in 1980, but we used to have a lot of excess generating capacity so that if you got into a really hot summer or you had outages in other places, you could always rely on, there was a backlog, if you will, or a safety valve of extra energy generation that could be brought online. Well, over the years, that little cushion has really shrunk to where now we're just kind of on the edge of being able to generate enough electricity to meet consumer demand. Now, the problem is you've got around the country a lot of electric vehicles. Electric vehicles are the rage, and just to create and to integrate a mass of electric vehicles into our grid would bring down the electric grid. Just if you had your full neighborhood, just your neighborhood went electric, it would basically exceed the capacity of the system to serve you, and it would crash. And there are multiple problems. Electric vehicles, I think, are the biggest issue going because, first of all, they have to run on electricity, but the electricity is generated primarily by oil and gas. You look at California, they want to eliminate oil and gas, and they want to go to all electric vehicles. And that is a collision course for vehicles that aren't going to go anywhere. If you also look at electric vehicles, part of the problem is in winter, we just had a really bad winter, their range drops from about 250 to 300 miles, which isn't much to begin with. It drops in half or more, depending on how cold it is. If you have a blackout, you can't plug in your car and have it run because there's no electricity coming through. If you look at the just at the footprint of modern day gas stations, and then look at the infrastructure that would be required to support a national fleet of electric vehicles, it's impossible for us to create that kind of infrastructure in the amount of time they want to go all electric. So it just doesn't make sense. Think about your gas station. Gas stations have a certain footprint. As people go in and out, they fill their cars. It takes, I'd say on average, maybe 5 minutes to fill your car. If you're at an electric generating gas station, it's going to take about an hour, 30 minutes to an hour to refuel your car. So you're going to need a gas station, the footprint of a little shopping center, in order to charge all the vehicles in there. It just doesn't make sense. And the cost of that is going to be completely overwhelming. So that's a big future drain on the electric system that's being pushed and pushed and pushed, even as they're trying to undo oil and gas, which is a solution to electric generation. It's a fuel of choice for, at least 100 years into the future, not to mention coal. Coal is, we've got hundreds of years supplies of coal, and yet our government is bent on ending the use of coal.
Tony, all this might make sense if we plan to do this over 50 or 100 years, but because maybe the technology is such that all this could work if we took a long, slow steps on it. But if we're trying to do it because it's the latest, I don't know, religion of green religion or something, that's like taking a five-year-old and making an eye doctor out of him. You just can't do it that fast. Does that make sense?
Oh, exactly. And I've got the view that all of this is intentional.
There's more to discuss about our nation's economy and our energy, and Tony will stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Yeah, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do. Well, some days. Then take a break and stay in the area. We'll be right back.
We were instrumental in passing the VA Mission Act so more veterans could have options and freedom in their health care.
We are leading the charge to end America's endless wars, bringing thousands of troops home and stopping trillions of dollars from being wasted.
Our key to success?
You. We bring your voice to leaders calling the shots so we can all have a better future. We are Concerned Veterans for America, the voice of veterans for freedom and prosperity.
Visit cv4a.org to learn more and join the movement.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Army vet Tony Lentini about our nation's energy mess. You know, clearly, at the end of the last segment, we were talking about the fact that this doesn't have to be Mission Impossible, but we're trying to do it too fast. And you were suggesting there might be some other motivations there. Take us there, Tony.
Exactly. You know, when President Trump left office, we were energy independent. And part of the reason why we were energy independent in oil and gas, in fact, we were exporting oil and gas, was that we developed fracking combined with lateral drilling. Fracking is a way you pump under pressure down into formations to crack open what they call tight rock formations, which are difficult for the oil and the gas to flow through. And they crack them open, enable the oil and gas to flow more easily. And the lateral drilling is, instead of drilling straight down, you're drilling in different directions so you can intersect different producing zones out of the same well. And that saves a lot of money and makes it cost efficient to do so. Well, we became energy independent as a result of that. As soon as the Biden administration came in, they started shutting down fracking on federal lands, just doing everything they could to destroy it, as well as closing down pipelines, making it more, you know, the Keystone pipeline was huge. We shut that down, even as we're supporting pipelines in other countries. And we just got to where now we're dependent on, again, as we used to be, on foreign sources, mainly OPEC. And OPEC doesn't love us at all. So that's a really bad thing. I think what is happening on a lot of fronts, and energy is the key front in America today, is that there are changes being done intentionally so that we will have shortages in energy, shortages that will push us to, say, away from oil and gas and toward electric vehicles. But then there's not going to be the electric generating capacity to power the electric vehicles. And I think the intention is basically to have us all use public transportation so that our electric vehicles, which can't be charged, just sit in the garage. We won't be able to heat and cool our homes. We won't be able to use gas stoves. So they want you to force you into Soviet-style apartment blocks. They want you to be totally dependent on the government, and therefore you'll become compliant citizens. And that is against every principle of America, of a democratic republic as we are, and it just every economic principle of the free enterprise system. It's totally against it, and it's all being done intentionally.
Tony, that sounds crazy, and I don't want to believe that, but the way you put it, if that's not what's going on, then what is? Why else would they be doing what they're doing? Because as you say, we can't survive dependent on electricity from green sources. You know, maybe 100 or 300 years we'll be able to do that, but we sure can't now. So, but what other motivation could be there? I hate to say that, but I think you might be right.
Well, I think part of the problem is with the advent of the internet, the free internet, the old free internet, people were able to get information from a lot of sources and people were able to discuss it in real time. Well, they've shut down the discussion with censorship, just as they lied about masks, they lied about the COVID shots, you know, preventing infection. They lie about it because they want to keep you on the path down towards serfdom. And it sounds like a wacky conspiracy theory, but if you know anything about energy, if you know anything about the economy, if you know anything about people, you realize that is the only possible goal. These people are not stupid. They're not stupid at all. They know exactly what they're doing. They also want you to eat bugs, by the way. You see they're playing up, eating the bugs. The Davos are talking about eating insects and plant-based materials because they basically want to shut down any luxury, any pleasure in life and make us all serfs.
Whoa. Again, if that's not the case, then why are they doing all this stuff? Like I said, Tony, I don't want to agree with you, but that's plan A. What's plan B? Could there be the only other possibility is that they're all a bunch of idiots, and I know that's not true.
No, they're very smart, and they know exactly what they're doing. And if you read their own materials, you can see that. Especially when you're reading a lot is coming out now on Twitter and the censorship going on, is we're being fed what the government wants us to be fed, and our government right now is radical left. They're anti-constitution, they're anti-energy, they're anti-free speech, they're against everything that we were brought up to believe in and everything that has made us the greatest country in the world until now.
You know, and in addition to the energy side of it, a big part of our economy is energy. So as we destroy our energy sources, we're destroying our economy, aren't we?
As I said in the beginning of this whole segment, you know, energy is war and peace, life and death, poverty or wealth. So if you don't have enough energy, you're going down the tubes. And we've been blessed in this country. World War II, someone once said, I think in World War II on a sea of American oil and gas. And that's why our economy is so strong, because we have so many natural resources that can provide the energy to build a strong economy. And that's all being destroyed, again, because the current government wants you to be a serf. They want you to be obedient, quiet, and just do what you're told.
You know, your point's well made. You know, yes, our energy supplied a whole lot of the world during and after World War II. And for that matter, our farmers fed most of the world, and they're disappearing too.
And they're disappearing by design. Danny, if you look at Davos and you look at what's happening in Egypt, I think it was in the Netherlands when they were forcing farmers out of business. If you look what's happening here, you've got huge corporate interests buying up farmland. You've got, you know, multi-billionaires buying up farmland because, again, they want control. They want control over people. And we're an independent cuss of people. That's the way we are. That's the way we were raised. That's what makes us great. And if you can break that independence by making you dependent, then dependent on the government, then basically they have you and they can direct you to do whatever they want.
So as citizens, what do we do? We obviously need to communicate with our local, state, and national elected leaders. What do we tell them?
Well, what we need to tell them is, first of all, it's your vote. Secondly, it's your pocketbook. I don't spend money on any corporation that's woke. I'm like done with them. And I write my congressmen, my senators on a regular basis, my governor. And I think the key is to get these people who want to socialize the country and basically, they call themselves progressives, but they're really regressives. They want to take us back to a pre-USA age when there were despots ruling people all around the world. And we need to stand up and fight this, because our entire existence as the United States of America, home of the free and the brave, is at risk, at substantial risk right now. They've infiltrated the schools. They've infiltrated corporate America. Eisenhower's military industrial complex that he warned us about is alive and well and spying on Americans. And we need to stop it and get back to our Constitution and freedom. We need to get back to freedom.
I think that's the bottom line. We have to get active politically, holding our elected officials accountable, knowing what they vote for, tell them how we want them to vote. And if we don't do it pretty quick, we're not going to have a country to do it with. Is that a fair summary?
Yeah, there's one more thing we need to do. Is we've got to work on our state legislatures to make sure that we've got election integrity. Because right now, I personally believe our elections are meaningless because they can be easily stolen. And I think we need to put pressure on our state legislatures to make sure that, I mean, you got to present an ID card to get into to do everything except vote. And we need to have voter integrity, because there are a lot of dead peoples on the rolls who are still voting. And there are a lot of ballots being sent to apartment blocks and businesses where they're collected, voted by one individual, and basically they steal the election. We need to stop that, or else we're just completely toast.
Well said. Tony, thank you. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for your insights and for making them so clear. Thank you for your service to our nation in uniform, but thank you for what you're doing now. I appreciate you, bro.
Thank you, Denny, and thank you for all that you're doing. We really need more voices like yours. So thank you for inviting me.
This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour learning about the Armed Forces Thanksgiving event. Then we'll talk Army Rangers with Doc Attaway, and we'll review the Battle of the Month with General Chris Petty. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag military history and our self-defense report. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for pull-ups. Do 30 good ones, grab some protein, rehydrate with water, and finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.